Blog Talk Radio.
Better get ready.
What you gonna do?
The Lord is doing
what you gonna do.
What you gonna do?
You better get your heart in order.
What you gonna do?
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 Are tuned into Blog Talk Radio. Your program is the Old Ship of Zion. Your host is Overseer Janice Ward. I am so delighted to be able to come across these airways and skyways, bringing unto you the divine word of truth as I know it to be. I thank you for allowing me into your workspace. Thank you for allowing me into your living room area. Then I thank you for allowing me to ride on down the dangerous highway and byway with the Old Ship of Zion on your podcast dial. I just hope and pray that all was well in your family circle. Hope and pray that all continually to be well with you and yours. And I'd also like to send out condolences to you, you, and you that has lost loved ones in the last 72 hours, the last 48 hours, the last 24 hours, last 12 hours, last 8 hours, 30 minutes ago, moments ago. I want you to know that you're not alone. I want you to know that God has pilgrims and allies all around the world, spiritualists praying for you and with you. And our prayers are with you and your family, that God will bring about restoration unto your soul. And we're going to now go into our intro prayer. We always acknowledge our Lord and soon coming Messiah. His name is Jesus Christ. He is a native of Nazareth. And I want to present to some and introduce to others. Hallelujah. A man that went all the way to Calvary Cross over 2,000 light years ago. Hallelujah. For the redemption of man's sins. So I want you to bow your heads, if you will, as we go down and acknowledge Jesus Christ at this time. Father God, we come with a grateful heart of your sovereignty and your love unmeasured. We thank you, O gracious Heavenly Father. Hallelujah. For enabling us to gather together in unity once again, God, around the spectrum. We know that this earthly soil that we're treading on, God, is not our eternal destination. But until you crack those clouds one historical day, God, we'll continue in your will and continue in your way, God. We will continue to mount up, God, hallelujah, before the four corners of this universe, God. Hallelujah, as pilgrims through this barren land. I'm asking you on tonight, God, to anoint these lips of clay, God. I want to be able to bring a rhema word to those that may, then again, may not know of you in the pardons of their iniquity. Grace me your servant, God, with words of encouragement, words of wisdom to those that are hurting deep down in the epitome of their souls. Some have heavy hearts. Some have empty hearts. Some have questions, God, that they don't have to answer. And they don't know where to turn, God. I want you to let them know, God, that they can turn to you. When all else fails, when it seems like no one is around to hear their humble cry, God, let them know that you hear their cry, God. We'll be so gracious to give your name the glory and honor, all the praise. These and other blessings we ask in your Son, Jesus' mighty Master's name. And we'll let the church say amen and amen. All right, I'll be with you an hour on tonight. And our sermon, hallelujah, on tonight entitles A Guideline for Terrible Times. I want to say that again. A Guideline for Terrible Times. Hallelujah. And I want you to get pull up your good seat, get comfortable, get your slippers on and your jammies, and get your chips and your dip or whatever you want to sip, and get your iPads, get your iPhones, get your tablets, get your laptops, whatever digital device, God, that you have available. I'm asking you to bring those devices aboard and just go along with me as I give out the scripture, and you can read it, write it down for your own edification. And so we're going to take our first key scripture out of the law of 2 Timothy, the 3rd chapter, and we'll be reading from the 2nd through the 4th verse. And it reads this. It says, "This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontent, fierce, displeasers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God." And you know that we're living in a time, an era, to where, I mean, it's just like anything goes right about now. And we find out that a lot of times that what used to be right is now wrong. And what used to be wrong is the new right. And God, tell us about those times where we as a society will be ridiculed, just like Jesus Christ was ridiculed. Hallelujah. We'll be mocked. We'll be scorned. Hallelujah. For your beliefs in the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I'm reminded, a 17-year-old had struggled with a question that theologian had wrestled with centuries. And for him, the problem was not theoretical, but practical. He was trying to understand why his mother had brain surgery. He asked, "Why do good people suffer, Mom?" She told her son, she said, "Suffering is a part of living in a sin-cursed world, and good people suffer like anybody else. That's why I'm glad we have Jesus." She said, "If I die, I'll go to a better place, and I'll long for the day when I can see you again." She then said that she could understand his frustration, but she told him not to put the blame on God. If you and I are baffled by the suffering of good people, we can put the question squarely before God. Hallelujah. God argued with him if we must and struggle with our doubts. But let's not blame him. God didn't explain to Job what he was doing, but said that he could be trusted to do what is right. That scripture reading is coming out of Job 38 and 42. And he has assured us, hallelujah, in his word, that Jesus suffered on our behalf. Then he rose from the dead and is now preparing a suffering-free place for you and I.
These may not be the answers we want, but they are the answers we need to help us live with that old, hallelujah, and often unanswered question of suffering. Why must I bear this pain? I cannot tell. I only know my Lord does all things well. And so I trust in God, my all in all, for he will bring me through whatever befalls. God is not obligated to give you and I answers, but he promised us his grace. We may not understand what is going on in our world, in our broken system. Hallelujah. But we know that God has all the answers. And when in doubt, we can look to Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of our faith. Hallelujah. And I'm going to read the second key scripture on tonight. And it reads this: shall we indeed accept good from God? And shall we not accept adversity? So what that scripture is saying, should we encounter all the goodness that God has to offer you and I, but rejected the bad and the not so good? We know that we're no better than God. We cannot have an idealistic mind that we will not suffer down here on earth. The only place that we will not suffer is in the kingdom of God. When we are raptured from this world and we go on to stand before the judgment seat of God, God will open up a book, he said, and that is the book of life. He will read to us the deeds that has been done in yours and mine and ours body. May it be good or not so good. Then God said there was another book. And that was the 66 books of life. And the life that you and I live right here, right now, in this moment, in this second, in this hour, in this day, in this time, right now, will determine our destination. And we know that we'll read in the newspapers, we hear around the world, this news is breaking every moment of the hour. Sadness we hear about, that people are being killed for standing up for their beliefs. And this should not be startling news, because God has already forewarn you and I. In his word, that's why we have to stay anchored the word. Because the word will reveal everything that God has already outlined for you and I. Hallelujah. Isn't it amazing that warnings are heeded only when it's almost too late? We find out that Christian doze quietly in the soft lap of church life and all of its busy work until reality intrudes upon our comfort. But God has not failed to warn us that terrible times will come. And we know that forewarned should mean forearmed. We know that terrible times occur whenever an individual, a family, a community, or a nation develop an agenda that is self-centered rather than governed by God's goals. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. That scripture reading again, coming out of the law, 2 Timothy 3 and 2 through 4. Sometimes terrible times come because others are overly concerned with their personal freedom other personal freedoms to use, to hurt, to indulge, or to gossip. Now the source of your present sorrow. Or have your own choice on the terrible times. Have you become a lover of self? Have you rewarded yourself with self-indulgence because you have suffered maltreatment or deprivation? To this, God issued a pivotal challenge from such turn away. Why? Because partnership with the spirit of this age, self-love, is a dead-end journey. We know that our forebears endured loss. They endured poverty. They endured illiteracy. They endured exclusion. And they endured unimaginable personal suffering. Yet they made choices for the lighter good and for the higher good. In the unseen community, they left a pattern for getting through times, like the pattern that Paul described to Timothy. But thou hast truly known my doctrine, manners of life, purpose, my faith, my long-suffering, charity, patience, persecution, affliction. What persecution I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. That's verse 10 through 11. But continue thou, the testimony of our ancestors is validated through our progress. Continue the things which thou hast learned and has been assured of. Verse 14. We have a guideline, you and I, for troubled times. Terrible times will come. However, we are equipped when we stand on God's tried and tested word. His principles, his wisdom, his eternal and immutable truth. We know that God is stronger than our terrible times. We know that God sit high and he looked low. Don't you be discouraged. Don't you be distraught. But just know that God is looking down on his people. God has not fallen asleep at the wheel. God do not sleep. God do not nap, as I first stated in previous sermon, between time. God is up and walking with his eyes on you and I, on the good as well as the not so good. Hallelujah. God careth for you and I. But we must continue on and upward. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Because one of these old days, you'll be able to say, count it all joy. Hallelujah. You and I live in a world where suffering is like an unwanted guest. Somehow we are never able to prevent trials from bringing pain and sorrow into our lives. We know that suffering is a mystery. Bad things often happen to good people who are struggling to do justice, struggling to have love and mercy and walk humbly with God. We find out that suffering never makes sense. Nevertheless, James made a very strong plea for Christians to rejoice in their suffering. You might say, Overseer Ward, sounds insane. Well, I want to bring you the good news. This is not Overseer Ward saying, but this is God saying through his word. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. He said that when all kinds of trials and temptation crowds into our lives. He said, my brothers and my sisters, don't resent them as intruders, but welcome them as friends. Realize that they come to test your faith and to produce in you the quality of endurance. And we know that we will be tested and tried. Hallelujah. God already said so. And even though you might not know why, but it's brought on because of sin. Sin brought on troubles. Sin brought on trials and tribulations. Sin brought on suffering. That's what sin has brought on and has brought about. How strange it seems to call suffering a friend when it gives us heartbreak, you and I, and heartache. But James suggests that the purpose of suffering is to help you and I, not to hurt you and I. And you and I are called to look past immediate hurt in order to see the long-range good. We might not understand it right now, what's happening, the reason why we're going through the things that we're going through. But as a whole old hymn would say, we'll understand it by and by. Hallelujah, Jesus. What is this long-range good, you might ask? It is, hallelujah, the maturation of our faith, yours and mine and our faith. The muscles of faith are strengthened through tribulations. As many physical athletes suffer from fatigue, hallelujah, and burnout, many spiritual athletes, hallelujah, they spiritually burn out and they run out of spiritual energy during times of suffering, hallelujah, developing the spiritual discipline of meditation and prayer and Bible study help you and I to mature our spiritual muscles. In the midst of our increasing spiritual strength comes joy. There is joy in knowing that God has a loving purpose for our suffering and that no suffering lasts forever. There is joy in realizing that we do not bear our pains and our suffering alone. For if we look back and we read in the Word of God, God is with you and I. He is with us in our struggle. And there is joy in knowing that trials, hallelujah, cannot separate us from God's care, but will bring us closer to Him. Our Lord taught us to endure trials by the way he endured the last days of his earthly sojourn. Jesus lived victoriously. Jesus died majestically. Jesus rose from the grave triumphantly. So we know that this same Jesus promised you and I that we also can rejoice in suffering. If we don't resent it as an intruder, but rather welcome it as a friend. And in ending, I hope and I pray that I've said something to inject your spirit and to impact your mind as I have brought unto you the divine word of truth. And if this program has been a blessing in your daily walk with God, if you have any prayer petitions, you would want the old ship of Zion to go down and pray on your behalf. You're most certainly encouraged to send your correspondence to God House of Deliverance, Pentecostal Digital Worldwide Ministry. Send your correspondence, make them attentive to Overseer Janice Ward, P.O. Box 1600, Gilroy, California 95020. And you are encouraged to go in God and allow God to go in you. I want you to stay encouraged. be lifted on this morning and know that trouble don't last always. But our trials and our suffering is for God's glory and His honor. And His honor alone. We are going to now change. Hallelujah. We're going to change the program. And we're going to now bring unto you hymns of Zion to encourage your heart and to uplift your spirit. Until we meet again, I want you to go in God and allow God to go in you. Be encouraged. God bless you. All right, we're going to now change the service over into hymns of Zion.
Down when I spit my hardest, who wanted with big bro and that guy. Thank you. Thank you.